Imagine millions of transactions happening every second, data flying between banks, hospitals, and power grids. Now, imagine that in the middle of all that noise, a single imposter slips through. A malicious piece of code wearing the digital ID of a trusted machine. It doesn't break in, it just walks right in. Hi everyone, welcome back to Identitalks. For a long time, securing the digital world was about managing people, their passwords, their permissions. But the digital traffic jams we have today? They aren't driven by humans. They're driven by machines. And if we're still using a system designed for human ID checks to manage machines, we have a massive blind spot. Today, we're talking about the upgrade. We're talking about FAPI 2.0, the new standard for high-stakes machine-to-machine communication, and why it's no longer just for bankers. It's for anyone who can't afford to trust the wrong machine. Joining me is an expert from iSprint Innovations, who will help us break this down in a practical, business-friendly way.
Thanks for having me. It's a critical conversation, and I'm excited to dive in.
Let's start by naming the ghost in the machine. We talk about users all the time, but as you mentioned, the real users today aren't people. What does that landscape actually look like?
It's a good way to put it. When you think of traffic on your network, picture this. It's your banking app, pinging a payments API 100 times a second. It's a smart meter in a hospital, automatically reporting energy usage. It's a point of sale terminal, processing a transaction. It's a server in a government data center, verifying a citizen's record. These aren't people typing passwords. They are digital entities moving at machine speed. And the scary part? They operate autonomously, 24/7. If one of them gets compromised, there's no human to hit the brakes. The bad actor can execute an entire attack before a security team even gets a coffee.
So we've moved from managing human identities to managing machine identities as the very foundation of our infrastructure. And that foundation has a crack in it.
That's exactly right. A big one.
So what's the crack? What's the fatal flaw in how most companies are handling this today?
It's a simple, dangerous assumption. If the token is valid, the request is safe. Traditional OAuth is like a nightclub bouncer who only checks if your ID looks real and isn't expired. He stamps your hand and lets you in. But he doesn't check if you are the person in the photo. In API terms, a standard OAuth check asks, is this token signed? Is it expired? Does it have the right permissions? But it doesn't ask the most important question. Is the machine presenting this token the one it was issued to? If that token gets copied from a server log, from a snippet of code, from a compromised container, it can be replayed by an imposter machine. To the API, it looks exactly like the real deal. It's the ultimate evil twin scenario.
Wow. So we're not actually verifying the machine's identity. We're just checking the credential it stole. That feels like trusting a passport photo instead of checking the face holding it.
Precisely. And for a lot of low-risk stuff, maybe that's fine. But let's look at where this breaks down catastrophically. Financial systems where a stolen token replaying a POS transaction isn't just a bug, it's straight up fraud. For utilities, if an imposter machine can report false data from a smart meter, it can manipulate billing and evade regulatory compliance. In healthcare, imagine an imposter machine sending commands to an IV pump or accessing patient records. The risk isn't just financial, it's a matter of patient safety. In these high-stakes environments, the question isn't, is the token valid? The question has to be, is this machine the rightful owner of this identity?
And that's the question standard OAuth was never designed to answer.
Exactly. And that's why FAPI 2.0 exists.
So let's talk about the upgrade. In plain English, what does FAPI 2.0 actually do?
Let's go back to your passport analogy. In the old world, the bouncer just looked at the passport. In the FAPI 2.0 world, we're moving to a high-security airport. The officer doesn't just look at your passport, they scan the chip. They check your biometrics, your fingerprint, or your iris. They cryptographically prove that the person standing there is the person the data belongs to. Technically, FAPI 2.0 mandates things like sender-constrained tokens. It says the token is now tied to the specific machine's cryptographic key. It's like embedding a fingerprint into the token itself. So even if a bad guy steals the token, it's useless. When they try to use it, the system asks for their cryptographic proof, and they can't provide it. They have the passport, but they can't pass the biometric scan.
So trust is no longer assumed. It's proven every single time with cryptography.
Exactly. We've moved trust from an assumption to a verifiable fact.
Now, FAPI came from the financial world, but you're painting a picture that sounds like every industry's future.
Absolutely. The battlefield has shifted. Any organization where a single API call has a financial consequence, data privacy is regulated. They rely on a complex ecosystem of partners and third-party APIs. Operational technology, like in factories or power plants, is connected to the internet. They all need this. Machine identity is no longer a niche security topic. It is the bedrock of digital trust. If that bedrock is weak, you can't build a safe, scalable, or compliant business on top of it.
So, for our listeners who are convinced, the next question is always, okay, how do I actually do this? This is where iSprint's Access Matrix Universal Access Management comes in. How does it help organizations make this leap?
Access Matrix UAM acts as the High Security Airport Authority. It's an OAuth authorization server, but it's built for this new, more dangerous world. It operationalizes FAPI 2.0. We provide the tools to create that cryptographic binding we talked about. It supports the strong authentication methods required, like mutual TLS and DPOP, which effectively bind the token to the client. So for an organization, this means you can stop relying on vulnerable shared secrets and start deploying proof-based trust. You can finally close that gap. You can ensure that even in a worst-case breach where credentials leak, they're completely inert. They cannot be replayed.
So it's not just about issuing tokens. It's about ensuring they are unforgeable and non-transferable.
That's the perfect way to put it. They are non-transferable.
Final question. This sounds very technical. Why should a CEO or a business leader care about something as granular as token binding?
Because this isn't about security. It's about business. Weak machine trust is a direct limit on your ability to scale. It creates friction with partners. It increases the risk of fraud. And it makes passing compliance audits a nightmare. Strong machine trust, on the other hand, is an enabler. It gives you the confidence to open up your APIs, to onboard new partners faster, and to modernize your infrastructure without fear. It's the difference between cautiously dipping your toe in the water and confidently diving into digital transformation.
That's a powerful perspective. Machines are no longer just tools in the background. They are the primary actors in our digital economy. And in a high-stakes world, we can't just take their word for who they are. We need proof. If you're building the next generation of connected services, the question you need to ask isn't just, are our tokens valid? The real question is, are we really sure who's on the other end of the line? And that's it for today. Thanks for tuning in to Identitalks, and we'll see you next time.